Hello everyone and welcome to my show, Fit Life, Healthy Mind and Body. My name is Natalia Katowska and I will be your host. This is the UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. With over 13 years of international experience in sport and fitness, years of study, I would like to share my experience, knowledge, and most importantly, my endless love and passion for living a healthy lifestyle for my mental and physical well-being. On this show, we will be talking about fitness, sport, healthy living, nutrition, fitness fads, and more. We will be answering your questions, we will have guest speakers, and what's most important, we will exercise together. Yes, you heard me right. In every episode, we will have a healthy dose of exercises that we will do together. So we won't just talk about fit life, we will actually experience the fit life together. Are you ready? Then let's go. Today's show topic is business owners, entrepreneurs, city workers and their mental health. How to prevent burnout and support your team's mental health. Good mental health is a key influence on employability, finding a job and remaining in that job. Stress and burnout has long-term psychological health effects and can have negative consequences for people's mental health, including depression, anxiety, and low self-esteem. By positively managing and supporting employees' mental well-being, employers can ensure that staff perform on their potential. And this allows the business to achieve peak performance. Today, we're speaking with Desiree, who is a coach and therapist with over 30 years experience and has worked with companies such as Accenture, Mercedes-Benz USA, Tata, Comcast, and more. She has also worked for the local government and charities writing bespoke training programs. Desiree provides one-to-one executive coaching and team coaching with support strategic plans to increase business performance and create high-performing teams. She also uses neuroscience to inform her practice. Desiree, welcome to the show.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with ZeroZilchZip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit ZeroZilchZip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Hello, hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Natalia, how are you?
Good. I'm very good. Very well. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Lovely to meet you, as it were.
So I want to greet you, Desiree, right? Am I saying that right?
Yes, you're saying it right.
Where's your accent from, Desiree?
I'm South African originally. Had a bit of a journey to get to Britain, but I found my forever home.
Right, right. So how are you today?
Yeah, very good. Feeling excited and full of information for our interview.
That's correct. Yes, I'm very happy to have you because I think we have a great topic today, which is about, you know, business owners and entrepreneurs and just work in general and the mental health. But before we get there, I would like to know more about you. I would like our listeners, which we have quite few, like 1.2 million, would like to find out more about you.
Okay, so a little bit about me is I grew up in South Africa, and I absolutely hated it. I always wanted to be somewhere else. And I decided as a teenager that I wanted to be a psychologist because I had such a miserable teenagehood. So I got slightly distracted because my sister was queen of advertising. So I did a little bit of a detour and I went into marketing and advertising and left South Africa at the age of 24 with two suitcases and $2,000 to find my life somewhere else. So I lived in America and couldn't get a green card. So I went to Israel. Absolutely did not like it there, and then got a job here and found my forever home. And when I got here, I decided that I needed to do something that was more aligned with who I am, which is about people and helping people. I had a mother who was like Anna Freud. Everything had to be analyzed and looked at. So it was kind of naturally part of me. And I absolutely love helping people. From an early age, people just used to feel comfortable talking to me. I remember sitting on a park bench once on my way back from school, and a complete stranger sat down and started speaking to me, you know, about their problems in life. So obviously I have this propensity to attract people and help them feel open to discussing things. I did three different qualifications. My first was working with adults. Then I did a master's working with children and adolescents and learned, well, you can't work with the parents. So then went on to do systemic family therapy. And I worked in prisons, schools, National Health Service, private practice, charities, a whole lot of different places with, you know, various client groups. And then about 12 years ago, somebody said to me, look, I think you'll make a great coach. I said, oh, I don't know about this. And my first call, I literally basically had a panic attack. The woman opened and said, she's responsible for $300 million. And I'm going, oh, my God, what do I know about this? So having been a psychotherapist working with a number of different groups, you know, from children to adults to families, I was asked to sort of do a coaching session because I was told that I would be a coach or good coach. And I had my first session and somebody started off saying that they were responsible for $300 million. And I nearly had a heart attack because certainly isn't my area of expertise. And as she continued talking, I realized that really coaching was about people and that people don't just come into the workplace and be a person at work. They bring their pasts and their strengths and their developmental areas with them. And it was, you know, not that different from doing therapy. And I get a real kick out of helping people and seeing them, you know, develop and grow and be empowered and sort of be fully functioning people. And that is really what I do every day for most of the day. And I absolutely love it and it gives me great passion. So I now just do coaching exclusively. Mm-hmm. And I work with anybody from, you know, C-suite, CEOs, et cetera, people right down to people who are just starting their careers. And I think that coaching is a fantastic way of helping people be more productive and help them get unstuck and feel better about being at work as well as at home. Unfortunately, I think that there are people that come to work and they have a work self and a home self, and it takes up a lot of energy to be two people. So hopefully what I do in terms of my coaching is to help people feel comfortable to be transparent and open and congruent no matter where they are. So that's a little bit about me and where I come from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you mentioned something important, which was, I would say, dislike to South Africa. Did that have something to do with why you've chosen this path in your life, the coaching, the mental health, the I don't know, understanding deeper on the, you know, emotional, mental level, humans' emotions?
Well, it definitely did. I've always had, from a child, a very big social conscience, and it was very difficult growing up in South Africa to see the disparity between the haves and the have-nots. And by that I mean, you know, people who were privileged and white and, you know, looking literally at people in rags and no shoes, and the inequality of people just, you know, being stopped by the police, being degraded, you know, it really was very, very difficult for me. I had a second mother who was a lovely lady who was Black, and she was in our family for over 30 years. And a lot of my psychological well-being, I have to attribute to her as well. Mm-hmm. And it was very degrading and saddening for me to watch her ask my mother for a note so that she could go to her friend after 10 o'clock at night because there was a curfew for Black people. So it definitely did have a huge effect on me and wanting to do something better for people and make the world better.
Right. Right. So that brings a little bit more understanding to where you're coming from. So what can you tell us about today's people's mental health? How do you view it?
Well, I think people are struggling more because the structure of our society has changed a lot. Even if you go back to the 1960s, which is, giving away my age over here, it was much more cohesive community in which you were brought up by aunties and uncles and friends. And that kind of society has changed and it's become much more fragmented, much more mobile. Western lifestyle is now full of unhealthy diets, lack of physical exercise, family breakups. You know, when I was at school, you know, I remember there was this one lone child who came from a divorced family, and there was a huge stigma that just was like not considered okay. Mm-hmm. And now there are a lot more single parents, a lot of people really struggling on their own. There's very little, or shall I say less, support from families, from neighbors, from the more cohesive, integrated society. And for whatever reason, childhood neglect and trauma is much more prevalent. There's much more pressure and competition in schools and in the workplace there. Even, you know, our National Health Service, in terms of supporting people, there just isn't enough funding. So I do think that it is much worse than it used to be, and it continues to get worse with social media and different pressures on our society. And also, you know, our whole way of being in the Western world. I mean, our culture is obsessed with productivity. And, you know, people buy into working long hours and working on holidays and being available 24/7. And that really impacts mental health. Mm-hmm. It's not natural. It's not a normal way in terms of how we evolved from an evolutionary point of view to be working at this pace and to have the kind of pressures about what society says that we should be in order to be viewed as successful and to be viewed in a positive light. And a lot of it is based on materialism and external factors versus going back to having a greater meaning and purpose and connection in life.
Right, right. That's very interesting what you're saying. Do you see this as too much focus is put into, as you mentioned, materialistic approach and world that we live in today?
Yes, I think our self-worth to a large extent is, you know, based on, you know, how much you earn, what you wear, you know, how you appear in social media, because people are now living their lives on social media versus having a richer internal world and meaning and focus and actually getting to know themselves. And, you know, if you're not in touch with your feelings and your self-awareness, it means that things are happening in the world that you, if you don't have that awareness, that emotional intelligence, you're not likely to be in touch with what's happening for you and therefore to do something productive about to be more resilient. So there's a much more external locus of evaluation in terms of how we're leading our lives now.
So how can we prevent this focus on this, you know, materialistic world, getting super caught up in that world that is just burning us out from inside? And how can we prevent that in also, apart from professional life, how that can happen in our private life? How can we protect our families, ourselves, our mental health?
I think that it really, and obviously it's an individual thing. I think it would require a huge change in terms of Western society and culture. It is different, you know, in other cultures in terms of what their values are. But it would need to be a huge shift for us not to be obsessed with, you know, social media, earning a lot of money, and only if you earn a lot of money, then you know, then you're successful. I think it's an individual choice of choosing to go back and think, what is it? I mean, one of the questions that I ask when I'm coaching, and people are getting caught up in, you know, day-to-day, you know, stresses of achieving things constantly, is actually saying, you know, heaven forbid you had to die in 6 months. What is it that you would have liked your life to have been about? Are you living according to your values? What meaning is there in your life that's for a great purpose versus just going from one thing to another? And I don't know how one changes that. And, you know, if, because I'm not into social media, I know nothing about it, but I have heard the word, you know, influencers bandied about. So instead of influencing, you know, what the latest trend is, perhaps people could go back to, you know, being more focused on us as people and connections and values and compassion and kindness, because that is where we reduce our stress and our burnout, is to live more meaningful and compassionate lives.
Right, right. So are there any mental health issues that you've captured yourself while working with people? Could you pinpoint or something particular?
Well, yes, you know, I do. First of all, I suppose, you know, a little bit of self-disclosure. So I am bipolar. I think that people, when they hear words like depression, bipolar, autism, they immediately, they don't have an understanding of what it is and how people may present. And when we don't know things, it automatically, we're not comfortable with it, and it creates a fear reaction. And people pick up on other people's emotions. So if you've already got, you know, a mental health problem, you automatically feel more isolated and excluded because people really don't know how to deal with it. But in terms of the coaching that I've done, I do often get people that are, you know, that are very anxious and can't cope, or they demotivated and they're going into depression. And this could be, I'm just thinking of one case in particular where this particular person was rising up in the ranks, and she was a complete perfectionist. And she said to me, look, I really can't let any work go unless I've checked it absolutely twice, because it makes me very nervous. It's distinctly uncomfortable for me to, for this work to not be checked twice. And of course, when you sort of going up the ranks and you're a manager, you just don't have the time to do that. You've got to start delegating more. You can't be micromanaging and checking everything. And, you know, when we went into, as I said before, you know, we don't just come into the workplace. And I said, you know, I'm interested to know, you know, when you have this feeling, where is it in your body? When was it, as I say, when would I always ask, when are your feelings born? And she says, oh, no, I've had this feeling since, you know, since I was a child. And I said, well, you know, where did this message come from? And she revealed that her mother was obsessive compulsive disorder. And it became, she had to check everything because there were huge repercussions if everything wasn't absolutely perfect. And then she took this into the workplace, and the stress of that and the anxiety that she had from that was something that, you know, we had to work on in the moment for her to be able to be fully functioning without that anxiety and that stress, you know, within her. So, you know, that's one example. I get a lot of people who are so overwhelmed by the amount of work, and they literally reach burnout and exhaustion, and it obviously affects and impacts not only their work, but also their home life, because they obviously go home and they're still the same person, but they're just not coping well in the world. And I see that increasingly more and more. That, you know, people are presenting with burnout, with depression, with anxiety. So it is quite prevalent in the workplace.
Would you think in the past few years that it increased? Do you see numbers growing up, or do you see perhaps maybe more understanding and people searching for help?
I think people are searching for help. And yes, I do see an increase. You know, with COVID was particularly difficult because everybody was on top of each other. I found that people, it was difficult to divide work and home. So they were working longer hours. And there was also an expectation, more of an expectation of, well, you're at home and therefore, you know, you have to be at your computer, be available. And people started feeling guilty that if they, you know, had a lunch break or they had a bite to eat or a drink or whatever, that they wouldn't be at their computer. And then people, you know, the company would think that they were slacking off. So it did get much worse. And I, you know, I think that it is increasingly people's mental health is getting much worse, because also companies are taking on more and more and more work because they want to increase their bottom line. But what they're not doing is they're not taking on more resources on more people. So it's just kind of people are just delegating to the point of overwhelm. And one of the biggest coaching things that I do is helping people learn to say no. Sorry, this is just not possible. Mm-hmm. I call it, you suffer from Rumpelstiltskin syndrome, in which people are asked to make gold out of hay. You know, it's just these things aren't possible. So, you know, what can you do without being scared, anxious, or whatever, to actually, you know, say, this is just not doable. And I think that that is also a large part of what is happening, is the overwhelm that is taking people into huge stress levels, huge anxiety, which depending on how it manifests for each individual can go into depression. And of course, not only that, stress affects your body and you get ill, you get, you know, colds, you get heart disease, you get you know, gastrointestinal disease, because our minds and our bodies are very, very connected. They have, you know, you can't separate them out. Yeah. So in answer to your question, having given a very long answer, yes, I do think that it is much worse.
No, I love it. I love when we go in depth because, you know, I mean, I always give my example too. I can feel it sometimes how if I'm too overwhelmed or stressed, how it affects my body. And I'm very physical with my work. So that's already is a huge help to my daily routine that I'm teaching, I'm dancing, I'm doing creative stuff. So that helps me to release my stress. But still, I can feel sometimes when my mind is caught up in that thinking, overthinking, analyzing, I can feel in my body how energy is changing, how I don't know, my receptors are just feeling and sensing that stress. So it's very important for people to understand that mental health, physical health go together, and one doesn't exist without another. And mind is the main power in our body in all levels and in any direction. So it's very important to hear it from you as a professional that's actually how it works, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't know if you want me to say a little bit more about how that connection works.
Of course, please do so.
So people think that our emotions are made in our brains, but they're actually not. They're actually made in our bodies. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, our bodies manifest feelings, whether, you know, people have got a butterfly in my stomach or a pain in my heart, etc. Those are all those feelings. It's actually bottom up. Our brain then recognizes them and gives them a label. So that's the connection. We have a nerve called the vagus nerve that runs from our brain and goes right through our body and connects all our organs, etc. So there's this constant communication going on between what's happening for us viscerally, which is a lot of where your emotional intelligence lives, because if you can actually be in touch with what those visceral feelings are, you have much more an ability to know what's going on for you and to control it. Our feelings have which a lot of people don't know, they have a beginning, a middle, and an end. So you're actually very lucky in that you dance, you're creative. Because when we get into a fear and a stressed state, which is our survival mode, so we've got a little bit of, you know, thing in our brain called the amygdala. And I'm being very simple over here. It's much more complicated because the brain doesn't only work in one part. There are loads of parts that work together to have an outcome. But just to simplify it, our amygdala is a little bit in our brain that helps survive because it looks at threat. Mm-hmm. And it's constantly like one of those little radar machines going around going beep, 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 looking for, for threat so that we can survive. And our modern day threat is in the workplace is, you know, do we achieve? If we don't achieve, we'll get into trouble. If we get into trouble, you know, we'll be fired. Maybe we won't have a job. How will we pay our mortgage? What will, you know, how will we eat? And ultimately, it goes down to fear of abandonment, of rejection, pushed out, not coping, not surviving. So it goes very, very deep. So if we look at that, we're stressed. So we have a stress, our emotions start, we have a middle. And our body wants to know that it's ended. And one of the ways of helping it end to know that, shoot, it's gone, is to get rid of that stress. And that can be done through physical exercise. That can be done through creativity. It can be done through breathing. Actually let your body know, okay, I can let go of the stress now. I don't have to carry it. The emotion's finished and I'm out of threat.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, very interesting. So, you know, how can we support our employees, co-workers, even our members of our homes, with any type of emotional, physical, or educational support. How does that work? Is that possible? Can we do it? What are the tools to do so?
Well, yes, there are things. Obviously, it's about building, you know, good connections and having mature ways of being able to speak to each other, which really comes from, you know, how we were brought up. There will be people that were brought up in families where they never discussed feelings. And if you never learn to discuss feelings, you know, it's very difficult to have communication. Or perhaps what happened was, you know, there was a lot of shouting and screaming. So that's, you know, how you learn to communicate. So yes, definitely helping people learn to have healthier ways of speaking to each other, of connecting, and then, you know, resolving, you know, problems or, you know, what you're upset about in a more healthy way can be done. There's definitely an aspect to, you know, I know that people say, oh, put away your screens, et cetera, et cetera. But there is really something in it about sort of being, you know, building up your emotional intelligence and learning, you know, to be more in touch with yourself. And that can be done through meditation. There are a lot of self-help books. Coaching is a great way because you've got somebody, you know, helping guide you, be more emotionally aware, you know, therapy. Obviously, these things I'm talking to a section of the population who would have the means to do this. There's a big section of the population who don't have the means to do this. So what I would say is, you know, if they can, to listen to self-help podcasts, or, you know, or books to actually help them have an understanding of how we work and different ways of being able to achieve it. Because there are loads of resources out there for people who don't, you know, have the money to go out and, you know, have somebody else actually help them. In the workplace, I really do think that there is, you know, a place for people to be supported through employment assistance programs, getting coaches in. And I think that the workplace really needs to change their thinking in that coaches are always for the senior execs. Well, it's not always for the senior execs because you've got other people. So it's almost like a discriminatory thing. We help people at the top, but if somebody underneath they're in managerial or in, you know, in a coming up, you know, and up the ranks, mm-hmm. you know, that they don't actually help them, I think it actually becomes discriminatory and, you know, help should be available to everybody. You know, it is a huge topic, but, you know, just in this interview, just a few things that, you know, I can put forward in trying to help people. I know people say, oh, breathe, but they don't actually understand why it helps. And if you ever want to calm yourself down, the way to do it is to actually take, there's something that Professor Andrew Huberman, who I'm a big fan of his, he's a professor of neuroscience, if I remember correctly, I think he's at Stanford, and he talks about physiological sigh, which is where you take a deep breath in and then you kind of top it up with a little one, and hopefully you can hear me, it's kind of like this, a little one, and then you breathe out as slowly as you can until your stomach is almost tense. And that engages what we call the sympathetic nervous system, which is the one that gets us into the flight mode. And it starts to calm it down. And if you do five or six of those, that already brings your stress down literally immediately. So that's why when people say breathe, it's all good and well to breathe, but how do you breathe? So it's always the very, very long breath out is the one that's going to calm you down. If you're feeling low energy, the one that's going to build you up is the long in breath, short out breath. You need, you know, that energy, that bit to get going. So, you know, as I say, there are things that one can do definitely to help elevate people's emotional intelligence, people's feeling of well-being. And one of the greatest things is healthy connectivity with others, and good relationships will far outweigh a lot of other things. And the other thing is sleep, which is very, people take it for granted. If you're going to have the option between the last episode of whatever it is that you're watching on Netflix versus sleep, always choose sleep, because it is very, very restorative. In fact, it's the most restorative thing that you can do. Our bodies have a lymphatic system in which we excrete through our kidneys, etc., toxins. Our brains don't have a lymphatic system. But what happens when we go to sleep is our brains shrink and the cerebral fluid comes through and washes through all the bits to take out the toxins in our brain. So that's one thing. The other thing is that while we're sleeping, we produce BDNF, which is very, you know, we actually have to have it to help our systems make new memories, to keep our brains healthy, to make sure that they function so that we don't go into depression, because the lack of it will get you into depression. And it also helps us sort and store memories so that we remember. And if you have a lack of sleep, it's the equivalent of going to work drunk. And that's how poorly your brain will function. So sleep is another way of really helping us and our mental health.
I fully agree with that, because I've been the person who underestimated sleep for a very long time. And then I just realized, in order to function well, I do need at least good 7 hours of sleep, especially because I'm doing things physically. So I would always preach for sleep and say to people, definitely do not underestimate the power of sleep, power of good rest, because that's our fuel.
Absolutely. You clocked in there, and you're absolutely spot on. Look, not many people, if you think about new parents and they're working, and they've got other kids, there's a huge, they just aren't naturally sleep deprived. But then, if they can sort of take moments, and I know that this is very, very difficult because there's so many different factors to keep moving. If they can actually just even take 5 minutes to sort of just, listen to some music, take their mind away from what's going on, do some breathing, even do a 5-minute meditation, you get all these apps now like Headspace, etc. Mm-hmm. Just to actually give their mind a rest is so important and so helpful.
Yeah. Well, thank you for those lovely information. I think we've learned quite a lot and understood a little bit more. And it would be amazing if people could be more aware and knowledgeable about different mental issues, health problems, depression, bipolar, BPD. Doesn't mean we're not capable to work, or we should be treated differently. If someone is facing those issues, it's just a matter of understanding and learning how to deal with them and cope with them on a regular basis. So
absolutely. And I think that companies are becoming better, but mm-hmm. I think creating what we call psychological safety, so that people don't feel scared to be who they are, with whatever difficulties they have, is very important. Some companies are paying lip service to it and say, yes, we're doing it, but they're not. And they really have to think about how they're going to create psychological safety so that people feel safe and aren't working in a fear mode of saying things. I mean, it was a very, very, very long time before I was okay to say, look, I'm bipolar, because of the stigma attached to it. So, companies really need to pay heed to that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for your time, Desiree. Thank you for your expertise and your knowledge.
You're very welcome, Natalia. Thank you so much for having me on. And because this is my passion and I really want to help people, I really want to help them make, you know, help have more information so that they can do things differently and make more informed choices is my passion and, you know, my raison d'etre in life. So thank you so much for the opportunity.
Oh, of course, the same. I do feel like spreading awareness, knowledge, and love—it's some form of my duty too. So I guess we do understand each other on on that level, which is great. And I love to have people who are just fully passionate about what they're doing, what their expertise about. You know, so thank you again, and I'm wishing you a beautiful day, which looks like we have and we're going to have for next few days. So enjoy the sunshine. Enjoy.
Thank you. And as they say, Natalia, dance like nobody's watching.
There you go. Exactly. Exactly. I know that saying very well.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And now it's time for our workout. But before we continue, we have some valuable information from our station sponsors.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things. Make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, team. So today I want to talk to you about my new fitness dance class that is happening on the 30th of April. So in a few weeks, actually 3 weeks time, it's called Afro House and HIIT. I'm sure you already heard about it because I'm trying to spread as much awareness and knowledge about fitness and dance as possible. So I have for you another fantastic opportunity to burn some calories. And my new class, Afro House and HIIT, on the 30th of April from 2 to 3:30 is a fantastic way to do so. It's a great way to burn some calories, work on your muscles, and have fun to the best beat of your Afro House beats. What's better than that? And just as a reminder, if you still wonder what dance or fitness can do to you, here are some positive effects on your body and mind. So, dancing can be a way to stay fit for people of all ages, shapes, and sizes. It has a wide range of physical and mental benefits, such as improved condition of your heart and lungs. Did you know that? Increased muscular strength, endurance, and motor fitness. Wow! Increased aerobic fitness. Increased muscle tone and strength. It can also be a weight manager. Stronger bones and reduced risk of osteoporosis. Better coordination, agility, flexibility. Improved balance and spinal awareness. Increased physical confidence. Improved mental functioning. Improved general and psychological well-being. As well as greater self-confidence and self-esteem for better social skills. So why not join my class? Book your spot, visit my website where you can read more about it, www.nataliakotowska.com, or just simply DM me on my Instagram, Fitness with NK. I'm happy to provide you with all necessary information, support, and anything you need from me. So make sure you just reach out. Any questions, anything you need, I'm always here for you. Thank you, team, for listening, and I will see you next time. Mental health includes our emotional, psychological, and social well-being. It affects how we think, feel, and act. It also helps determine how we handle stress, relate to others, and make choices. Mental health is important at every stage of life, from childhood and adolescence through adulthood. Employers have a duty to assess the risks arising from hazards at work, including work-related mental health problems. Smart employers know that organizations are only as strong as their people. They depend on having a healthy and productive workforce. Good mental health underpins this. By positively managing and supporting employees' mental well-being, employers can ensure that staff performs to their potential, and this allows the business to achieve peak performance. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you visit my website to book workshop. They're coming very, very soon. www.nataliakotowska.com. If you have any questions, feedback, comments, please contact me. Follow me on my Instagram, fitnesswithnk, where you can leave your message. Thank you very much for today. Thank you for tuning in, for listening, and I will see you next time.